So no points or prizes for guessing what the theme is this month. It's in the foyer, it's on the board. What does that make you think of if we say grow? I say, Liesl, grow. What does it make you think of? What are you going to do? Okay, Tiens. What? Grow. What are we talking about? Is it important to go beyond where you are now? That's powerful. Okay. That's my wife. And you have grown tremendously in the last 12 months. It's just been amazing to see my wife just take things on, not scared of any challenge. Yeah, she makes me scared, which is conference. I'll organize it. Anyone else? There's a lot that we can say about it. I won't judge you according to what my wife said. Okay, for the Afrikaans people, groei. Does that ring a bell? What? Anything else? Some participation. Melanie? Vooruitgang. Okay. Progress. Okay. It sounds like a political campaign slogan. Stem vir Melanie, vooruitgang. That's hey. No, that's very good. It's true. Powerful. Okay. Stand for Melanie for hospitality. Gasvryheid. All right. So, grow. Well, when we say grow in the church circles, one aspect, one word that can also describe what we're talking about is the word discipleship. The word disciple, which we find in the Bible, discipleship. So, how do we do discipleship? What does that mean? What does it mean to be a disciple? What is a disciple? Who wants to tell me? What is a disciple? Follower of Christ. To follow. Okay, so disciple. The word on its own, so it doesn't necessarily mean Christ, but you're right with a follow, okay? But when we talk about discipleship in the church, as you say, then we're talking about following Christ. Okay, following Christ. Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus told his disciples, he told the ones that were following him, if anyone wants to follow me, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So there's one definition of discipleship. He's speaking to his disciples and he's saying, this is what you must do, okay, in order to be my disciple. This is what you must do. So a disciple is a follower. Here's news, we're all disciples. Okay, we follow many different things in our lives. We run after some things. Okay, I don't think anyone can stick up our hand and say we are perfect. We follow a lot of things. We got to grow. We got to invest in our discipleship in terms of our relationship with Christ. We've got to focus and learn to follow Him more. Jesus tells his disciples it doesn't come naturally. You actually have to deny yourself if you want to get it right. What comes naturally is running after a lot of things that the rest of the world runs after. The people that don't know Jesus yet, if take Jesus out of our lives, we'd be doing the same. There's a lot of things that you can follow. There's a lot of people in the world saying, follow me, vote for me, do what I do, join this team, buy this product. Listen to this. Watch that. Everyone's demanding your attention. Everyone's saying, follow me. Friend me on Facebook. Follow my tweets. The most popular twit at the moment, I think, is Katy Perry or someone like that. I think we've all been forced to hear some of her music at the gym and that kind of thing. So the top twits that are got millions and millions of followers, these are people that say, okay, I want to hear what you have to say. I'm interested in what you have to say. I'm interested in what's going on in your head. I want to read that, you know, I want to be part of that. And these people have, you're talking about over 100 million followers. Your Katy Perry's, your Lady Gaga's, your Justin Bieber's, they're all in the top five twits. We love them, but that's what they call people, twits, that tweet. That's, I'm not being rude here. Okay? Twits, and you tweet, and you whatever. Barack Obama is up there as well. So, there's a lot of people in the world that are following people that you wouldn't necessarily want your child to follow or to model. Jesus says that what the world wants is different from what he wants for us. He says that we, as people, we need to deny ourselves and follow him. Now, I was listening to quite a bit of what Francis Chan, David Platt, and John Stott also had to say about discipleship. John Stott, he's the very well-known theologian, actually passed away 5 years ago. And when he was 90, when he was 86, he was still preaching. And in one of his last messages, he spoke about this. He spoke about the question of purpose. He said there's a question that actually, you know, bugged him, or not bugged him, but it stayed with him during his years as a young Christian, was always on his mind. You know, what is man's chief purpose on earth? And so he also quotes then the Westminster Shorter Catechism slogan, which I believe is also quite widely spread and well known, where it says that the end of all comes down to this: it's for us to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But John Stott says this, you know, that along with many other expressions and biblical truths that people would coin to, you know, that people would repeat, don't quite satisfy that fully, that question of what is our purpose. You know, other people might say, well, it's to love God and love your neighbor. And actually I was, you know, very happy to see that what John Stott's conclusion was is what I've been saying all the time. So now I can say, as I've always said, so John Stott comes down to man's purpose, saying, well, our purpose is to become like Christ. Our purpose is to become like Christ. That is a more comprehensive description of what we are here for and what we have to do. You can say to glorify God and to enjoy him, but to become like Jesus, to become just like Jesus, would be more comprehensive, because you would do all of those things plus others. So, we know the scripture in Romans 8 verse 29. And he says, but you can't really sum it up just in one scripture. He takes a couple of scriptures and he builds around that. And I'm going to share those three scriptures. And so the first one that we read there in Romans 8 verse 29, and we all know Romans 8, 28 quite well. Actually, we know Romans chapter 8, a very powerful chapter. Okay, but this verse, let's look at it again this morning, Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, what he's saying is to become like Christ, to become like the Son of God. That is God's predestined purpose for us. Okay, this is referring then to a past event. God had already thought that long time ago. That was his plan. So let's add some meat around that, and we look at two more scriptures. But to become like Christ, we've got to start asking ourselves, how do we do that as well? Okay, so that's our purpose. If you agree with me by the end of the message, you know, how do we actually do that practically? How does that work? Well, there'll be some more clues here. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Okay, so this process, and I want to emphasize that word, discipleship growing is a process. It's not bang, you wake up one morning and you're fully grown. Nothing works like that. Maybe instant popcorn in a microwave. I don't know. That even takes 30 seconds. So, but any tree that you plant, anything, it takes time. God, He's Lord of all time, and He's over time, and He exists outside of time. He's eternal, and He has chosen to give us time to learn, to understand the basics before we enter into eternity and enjoy Him forever and ever. Discipleship is a process from glory to glory. We are being transformed. So we've gone from past tense, predestined in Romans 8, to present tense here. We are being transformed. And how is that happening? Can you in your own strength be just like Jesus was? Can you in your own strength do just as Jesus did? No. So here is a key, the Holy Spirit. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The transformation, the empowerment comes via the Holy Spirit. So we've got God the Father that's predestined us. We've got Jesus, the one to whom we must be conformed. And we've got the Holy Spirit doing the work. The whole Trinity is involved here. We need relationship with all three. Past, present, and now let's look ahead. 1 John 3 verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Future. We will be like Jesus. When He appears, we'll be like Him. We don't need to know more than that. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like. We've got a picture of who Jesus is through what we read of what He did. We don't know what we're going to look like, but we'll know we'll be like Him, and that is sufficient. And that creates that fuller picture, according to John Stott as well, of man's chief purpose in this life. Compared to any other purpose, secondary that we might have, we can just as well say this is our sole purpose, to become like Christ. So He brings in the past, in Romans 8, He brings in the present example there, 2 Corinthians, and then here in 1 John, we're talking about the future. So you've got the eternal perspective. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Then we've got the historical perspective, that it's a process that has been happening in the world and is continuing in us, that we are being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us continually. The Word says that He is continually at work in us, being transformed. The Word also speaks about we who are being saved, because salvation also encapsulates discipleship. It is a process. It's not a once-off. It has to continue, because at your own discretion, you can end it. It's not a case of once saved, always saved. You can walk away from God. I don't think that's very easy to do, but it is possible. Because God pursues us. It's not us that run after Him like He's trying to run away from us. He pursues us. He saved us. He found us. And He's faithful to complete the work that He started in us, but He gives us a choice. We have free will. That is our problem, because we often choose wrong. We chose sin, Adam and Eve. We would have done no better, and we've fallen into that. And then we've got the eschatological perspective. What's coming in the end, when Christ returns, the culmination, ultimate salvation or glorification as we call it, we will be just like Him. Something to look forward to. Because the problems that exist in our life and the challenges, you could also boil down to the fact that is because I'm not like Jesus in that area, or pertaining to that situation, because I don't think like Him perfectly yet. I don't do as He did perfectly yet. And that's why that aspect is in a mess. That's why I have that challenge. Because there is no challenge too great for Jesus. He doesn't see anything as a challenge. If He was a motivational speaker, He would say, that's an opportunity. It's not a challenge. But we have lots of challenges because we are not yet perfected. We are not yet like Christ. So, how do we become like Christ? How do we become like Christ? Interaction time. Beep. If I had that big screen like Brayton Pulser. Yeah, we know. Okay, let's have a look at that again. Let's get some dialogue going. How do you become like Christ? Just shout out something you can do. You don't have to give the full textbook answer. Anyone? Spending time with Him. You must think about it. Each one of us must think about it for a second. God, my Creator, the Lord of heaven and earth, the King of the universe, the one that made me, says, I must become like His Son, like Jesus. It's like, whoa, okay, that's a mission and a half. Huh? Talk about Mission Impossible 5. Not even Tom Cruise can play in that one. That is impossible in our own strength, no matter how cool you are. So, Sister Liesl says, spend time with Him. That's going to help. Anyone else? Any other ideas? Fiona? Pray to Jesus, and in every situation, pray. Don't just run ahead with your own idea. We serve a living God. Jesus, He's not a carcass on a cross. The tomb is empty. He's risen. He's alive. We were made in His image. He can communicate with us. He speaks to us. We've been given 2 ears to hear. We read that so many times in the Word and in Revelations, which speaks about the end times that we are rapidly moving into. And the Spirit of the Lord says, listen, We need to spend time talking, praying to God, two-way communication, speaking, but more than that, listening. What does the Lord say? Always have an open heart. Whatever He says, be ready to move. Be ready to jump. The Lord is moving. He's not stagnant or stationary. He says, follow me. He's busy. He's on His way somewhere. If we are stagnating, if we are not growing, we're losing ground. We are backsliding because He's moving forward. So we need to listen. What does the Spirit say? What is the Lord saying to us? We need to be ready to move. We need to be ready to make adjustments, to make changes. Thank God we don't have to do it in our own strength. The Great Commission says, go and make disciples. That's just an aside. A disciple, a follower of Jesus, is someone who also makes disciples. But He says at the end of the Great Commission, He says, I will be with you. He's with us. Through His Spirit, He's with us. He's helping us in that process. We need to listen. He will speak to us. He's gifted us to be able to hear His voice. And then He's empowered us to be able to execute what He has asked us to do. Praying. And Adrian, Auntie Adrian, you had something? Be doers. Very important. James says that we must not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. I mean, it's great. It's great if you know the whole Bible, back to front, front to back. And there are people that know the Bible much better than any of us who do not even have a relationship with God. Purely on an intellectual level, the Spirit has not been renewed. They've not been born again. So it's not good enough just to be a hearer of the word. Faith does come by hearing. Okay. The Lord knows what quantity we need for saving faith and further. But we need to be doers of the word. Jesus was a doer. He didn't just sit around telling people things. We need to follow in His footsteps. We need to take our lead from His example. He did. He came and did what He preached. Everything that He taught about, He did. We need to be a people of integrity. We want to go and preach to other people. You know, we gather, we learn, and we even spend time in the Word. But if we don't do what we are saying, we are hypocrites. And that will shine through. And we don't want to make other hypocrites. We want to make disciples. We want to make people that go out there and do what Jesus did. So we can go and read in the Gospels. Read the red letters and see what did Jesus say, what did Jesus do. Let's be the same. You know, too many Christians, you know, just to illustrate how funny it would be, in a bad sense of the word. I mean, if you tell you got teenagers or maybe smaller, you know, and it doesn't come natural to the children in your house to tidy up after themselves. They're full of energy. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and they can't wait to get to the next thing, to play with the next toy. There's no time to pack away the previous one they played with. There's no time to make a bed. There's a trampoline waiting outside, you know. There's just, it can look like a tornado has hit your house when you've had a bunch of toddlers through there. And we know, it's not just our children, we have children's church at our house every Sunday. Okay. And so if I have to tell Christian, you know, and he's an intelligent boy, and I have to tell him, Christian, please go clean your room because that is the right thing to do. And he goes off and I call him later, an hour later, and I say, so Christian, how did that whole thing go with the instruction I gave you? And he said, and he says, Dad, you know, I've got it. You told me, Christian, please go clean your room because that is the right thing to do. You see, Dad, I memorized it. I've got it up here. I know what you said. Okay, bye. And then he hasn't done anything. You see, the Bible has not just been given to us to memorize scriptures. A lot of Christians, man, they can quote those scriptures. Man, two thumbs up. You do get that star badge, but you've also got to get another badge which says, well, I'm a doer of what I've learned. We can't just go reciting the word, but we don't let it take effect in our lives. So when we pray, we need to keep this in mind. And obviously, what goes hand in hand, we said, spend time with Jesus. We said, pray. We said, be doers of the word. Okay, and there was just ladies that responded. Guys, we need to catch up. So we spend time with the Lord. We spend time in His word. We spend time praying. Because the truth is, you become like what you worship. Whatever you worship, you become like that. You know, and I've traveled a bit in the East on missions and such, and seen a lot of shrines and idols and people worshiping statues and dead things. And that is what you see in the people. You see a deadness in their souls through their eyes. You see there's no life there. It's sad. It's scary. There was a Hindu professor that once he identified a Christian in his class in India, and he said to the Christian, well, if Christians were more like Jesus, India would be at your feet tomorrow. That's what he said. We need to become more like Jesus. We need to spend time with Him. We need to focus on Him. We need to have our minds stayed on Him. Are you consciously aware? I think when Johnny often says that, to be consciously aware of God's presence in your life all the time. To be aware of Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you all the time. You become what you worship. You need to focus on Jesus. That's why, yeah, on a Sunday we help each other to do that. Now we need to take that, what we learn together, we need to go and apply it even when we are alone. We need to spend time with the Lord. We need to spend time speaking to Him. And you can speak to Him at any time of the day, wherever you are, because He's always with you. And He can always hear what you're saying. And He can always speak to you. And if you would have an attentive ear, you could hear what He says. And you have opportunity to apply that word, but we need to focus on Jesus so that we can become more like Him. So you're spending time in the Word of God. How do you approach that? You know, that's God's manual to us. That popular saying, it's not a real acronym, but the popular saying when we speak about what does the Bible stand for, book of instruction before leaving earth. You know, God has given that to us. We all have. Many of us have more than one translation at our fingertips. Electronically on your phone, you can do word searches, you know, scripture references. You got it all there. Concordance. You got to ask yourself a couple of questions when you read any passage in the Word. It's not just about getting through your daily devotion, your peace. We read the word to learn from God in order to become more like Him. So, in the first sermon that I heard after getting saved, it was a dominie that said, whenever you read scripture, ask yourself three questions. What does this tell me about God, who He is? What does it tell me about mankind? And what does it tell me about me? I think those are three good questions. David Platt says, when you read the Word of God, He's got two questions. He makes it easier. Okay. Americans simplifying things, pack a punch. He just says, I've got to see what does the word say to me and what must I do about it? What's it saying to me and what must I do about it? You see, faith without works is dead. We said that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith without works is dead. You don't do works in order to get to heaven. You do works because you already got faith and you're serving your King out of love. But we've got to see what that word tells us to do, and we've got to go and apply that word. See, information has to translate to a revelation. It's got to go from the head to the heart. And then it's got to translate to application. From the head to the heart to the hands. From the head to the heart to the hands. Information must become revelation, must become application. Otherwise, it doesn't benefit us. Otherwise, we will not grow. Otherwise, we're not doing the discipleship thing. Jesus says, follow me. Come. Do what I do. So the good news is, He helps us with that. He said, go and make disciples. He said, but I'm with you. I'm with you. Matthew 28:19. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything I've commanded. And lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age. Baptism, that's one instruction the Lord gave us, which we like to read and postpone till a sunny day. Not like today. But we've got some committed disciples in the house this morning. We're going to have a baptism up there just now. I love being a pastor. In the winter. That's good. It's all good. I'll make some other disciples get in the pool with me. No, we're really excited, and a special welcome to the families of those getting baptized this morning. It's a massive step of obedience, and it's something that I believe without fail really serves as a catalyst and a catapult for our walk with the Lord. So I'm really excited for the baptism. Please join us if at all you can stay behind for a few minutes. There was another Muslim cleric, previously Muslim cleric, Arab Muslim, and he said, if Christians were all Christians, then there would be no Islam today. If Christians were all Christians, if we actually obeyed the book, what does it mean to be a Christian, a little Christ, to follow Jesus? A disciple means a disciplined one, to do what Jesus did. If we did that, if we got that right, more than what we're doing now, we would really be advancing the kingdom and we'd be winning a lot of Muslims in the process. If Christians were Christians, there would be no Islam today. Wow. That would actually be such a blessing. So we need to get out there, we need to get stuck into the Word, and we need to ask the Lord to help us to live out the Word. 1 John 2 verse 6. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. If I say I'm a Christian, if I say I'm a disciple of Jesus, I ought to be the, The Apostle John says, I ought to be walking the same way Jesus walked. That's a challenge for us. That's a nice challenge for the rest of our lives that we can focus on. It's not a secondary focus. This is our primary purpose in this life, to become like Jesus, to live a life like Jesus. So when we die, and we're all going to die, hope that's not news to you this morning, then you might take it badly. Don't take it badly. We're all going to die, so that when we die, how awesome would it be if other people said, wow, that guy was so much, that lady lived so much like Jesus. When I read Jesus in the Bible and I think of their life, wow, that person really lived a lot like Jesus lived. Yo, wouldn't that be the greatest compliment? That would be pretty awesome. There was a guy that went to, man, I don't know the exact place. It was in the east, either somewhere rural in China or Mongolia, somewhere there. Okay, just follow me. Might have heard this before. I believe it's a true story, but it's so powerful. And this guy didn't get the gift of another earthly tongue. He couldn't communicate with these people that he wanted to reach with the gospel. He couldn't communicate, but he was there on a mission and he lived with them. Built his little hut and he lived there. And it came to be that he died. And some years after that, the second missionary with a group came to that same village with the ability to communicate with the people. And they were telling these people, reading to them, teaching them from the Bible about Jesus, showing them Jesus, telling them about what Jesus did. And these people were astounded, this village. They were astounded. They said, but we know this guy. And these missionaries were like, what? No, you don't understand. This was like 2,000 years ago. But hey, that's great. And they said, no, he lived right there in that hut. This man lived like Jesus lived amongst these people. So they already, their hearts were prepared to receive the gospel. He fulfilled his mandate. How powerful is that, eh? How awesome would that be if someone said that about you? Wow. That guy reminds me of Jesus. That lady reminds me of Jesus. Sure. I'd like to pray for us this morning that the Lord will help us to choose more of Jesus. Because He's all there. He's there for you. But to choose Him above other things. When after I got saved, before I had the Bible and had anyone teach me anything, my priority was, I need to get to know Jesus. I need to learn everything I can learn about Him, because He's given me a mission and I need to get equipped for this. My mission was, I need to find a Bible school. That was like top of the list. And the Lord really blessed me to be able to enroll in Bible school as soon as I got back to SA. Enrolled in a Bible school, and our foundation courses, we call it now Encounter courses, the discipleship series that we have as a church, I signed up for all of those simultaneously. I went through all those discipleship courses within a span of 2 months or something, and just carried on. Everything I could learn, just to be a sponge, just to absorb everything. Did 2 years of Bible school in 1 year. Finished it the next year. Ministry training program, missions. A lot of your training, a lot of your equipping happens in practice, out there, on the field, being with someone. I was so blessed. I just wanted to hang around the people that I identified. These guys are walking a road with Jesus. These guys know Jesus. I just want to be near them. So I was a bit like a, what would you call it? Not a teacher's pet or something like that. But, you know, I would want to follow these pastors around and these people that I saw, you know, they very godly people. And I was really blessed to be able to spend a lot of time with Christian leaders in my first few years of being a Christian. Just absorbing and learning, excuse me, everything that they could teach me, and ask questions and watch what they do and copy what they do. It's a good way to learn. Most powerful way is modeling. I see that guy doing that. I see Jesus doing that. I'm going to do the same thing. I don't understand everything about it yet, but, you know, often the understanding, often the feeling comes after the action. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Just do it. It's at Moses 1 verse 1. Absolutely. Absolutely. Very important. Absolutely. Thanks, Steve. You all got that? We need to share what we've learned. We need to share what we've learned. Important. We must learn. Then we must share. That's part of the discipleship process. Let me sketch you a very basic picture. Four quadrants. Okay, of disciple making, of sharing. Okay, so first would be, you watch someone do it. Secondly would be, you're with them. Okay, let's put it from the other perspective. If I'm discipling someone, firstly, I show them how to do it, okay? This is how you do it. This is how I follow Jesus in this area. All right? The Bible teaches me to tithe. This is how I do it. I've got a debit order every month. More than 10% of my income I put into the church. Boom. That's how I do it. Second step, I watch you do it. Let me sit with you. Okay, there, that's your banking app. Okay, let's do it. Okay. Third step, you do it on your own. The next month, you make your own transfer. Boom. Okay, now you're starting to do it. Fourth step, you teach someone else how to do it. Four steps of disciple making, sharing, teaching someone else. All right. So that very simple example, it's true for everything. It's a very easy way to learn. It's the best way to learn. You got to show someone how to do it. You can't just tell someone what to do. You need to tell them how to do it. Show them how to do it. Disciple making, live together. In that sense, we need to allow people in our lives. We need to allow people to be part of our lives. We need to invite people into our homes. Let them see how we parent our children. Let them see how we treat each other as spouses. We need to bring people into our lives. Discipleship is, very importantly, as Steve said, it's about sharing. Share your life. Are you prepared to share your life with others? A disciple is, by default, a disciple maker. If we're not making disciples, if I'm not teaching people and showing them how, then I've got a lot to grow in terms of my discipleship. Okay. If we're at the start of our journey of discipleship, if we're right at the start, we've just gotten saved. What we heard earlier is very important. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time talking to Him, listening, praying, reading the Word. That's cardinal. You got to start there and you got to continue that. But that is a good place to start if you don't know which way to go yet. When you start reading the Word, start in the New Testament, in the Gospels, it'll be easier to understand, and that's where we're living right now. So the Old Testament is a shadow of the things to come and very important, colors in the whole of history, creation, and history, and how God revealed Himself to His people and told them of the Savior to come, all of that. But start at the New Testament. Start with Matthew and start reading the Gospels over and over, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then carry on through the New Testament. That's where you start. And remember to ask yourself those questions. What does this text say? And what must I do? And pray and ask God to reveal that to you. And ask Him to help you with that. He wants us to ask Him for the basics. He wants us to ask Him in line with the Bible and the truth and ask Him to help us. That is what He wants to do. He wants to help you. But He wants us to be part of that process, not a place where we sit back and say, oh God, You do everything. He wants us to be part and alive to that process. So that's the cherry on the cake, is that He helps us to do it. He's an involved Father. And He raises His children. Okay? Everyone got that? Awesome. I'd like us to stand together and just close in prayer. Lord God, I just want to thank You for this morning. Thank You for time well spent in Your presence together. We know You are here, Lord God, and You are inside of us also, Father. You are faithful as we leave this place this morning to go with us. Thank You, Lord, that You said that You will help us. You have sent us Your helper, Your Spirit. You are always and continuously at work in us. I pray, Lord, that You will come and do according to Your Word and complete the work that You have started in us. Thank You, Lord God, that we can say yes to that process. Thank You, Lord, that we can stay focused on the ultimate goal, which is to become like Christ. Help us to focus in this time once more just on Jesus, on who You are and what You did, on what You modeled for us, even in human form. And help us by Your Spirit to do the same. Help us to grow, Lord, to progress, to go beyond where we are now, because Jesus, You are moving and You've invited us to follow You. Let us not be the same as we were, Lord, but let us grow. Pray, Lord, that You'll help us just in our decision making, in our thought life, to commit ourselves to this process of discipleship, to say yes to the opportunities when we gather and teach and learn, and to go out from there and share it with others. This morning, I just want to ask you to raise your hand if you feel it necessary to make a renewed commitment to growing in your relationship with the Lord and in your being like Christ. If you just want to make a renewed commitment in that regard, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you this morning. Anyone like that? Thank you. Lord, I just want to thank You, Lord God, for the open hearts here, Lord God. I thank You, Lord God, for the decisions being made, Lord, and thank You for the conviction of Your Spirit, just reminding us, Lord, what it's all about and where our focus needs to be and what we can do about that, because we have a choice in the matter, Lord. We are exactly where we want to be, but we can all grow. And I thank You for those people that even this morning identify that need and purpose in their hearts, that they want to be discipled. I pray, Lord, that You will come alongside them first and foremost by Your Spirit and teach them from Your Word. And Lord, that, Father, that You'll also bring across their path capable and able disciple makers to help them on that journey. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've given us as a church group, the tools you have given us, that the wisdom that you've given leaders developing certain programs that we can learn from. And we pray, Lord God, that you'll help us, Lord, to, Father, to come together and be trained by your word. And then importantly, from there to go. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If anyone has any other pressing prayer needs, we'd love to pray.